God's laid upon my heart from Galatians, and God spoke in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew there that about false prophets. He said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you with sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." The Apostle John spoke of those who were deceivers in 1 John 2:18. Said, "Little children, it is in the last days there will be many antichrists and many deceivers." Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." Throughout the 2,000 years of the church history, this has been some of the examples of false prophets and those who have misused, distorted, and even led away people with a false gospel. People, even in our days, such as Jim Jones, the People's Temple, his entire congregation following him to South America, and over 900 of his followers drinking Kool-Aid laced with cyanide, even children. In 97, the leader of the Heaven's Gate cult convinced 38 people to commit suicide in order to reach what they believed was an alien spacecraft. You believe people believing in that? But they do. In 1990, David Koresh, who claimed to be Jesus, and his cult branch of the Davidians moved into a compound in Waco, Texas. We saw that on TV, and 76 of his branch members dying in a fire that was really set by them. Today also we see the Church of the Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, Nation of Islam, witchcraft, astrology, and many, many others. Many of these cults and groups are beginning to grow in numbers too, and followers. It seems so amazing that people are turning away from the true gospel. Some of these were Christians at one time, and now they're turning to Scientology or whatever, being deceived and turning to these false teachings, many of those turning to the deception of the knowledge of the Bible. So we, as a Bible-believing church and true followers of Jesus Christ, have a lot of work on our hands, don't we? It's not just to sit on our hands, it's to use them. It's not to stay in one place, it's to go. The Great Commission says, "Go ye therefore." It doesn't say sit and wait for them to come to you. Maybe we have some in our own families. Maybe we have some relatives. Maybe we have some friends. We need to share the true gospel of what Jesus Christ is. Churches that began with the foundation of Jesus Christ but ended up cracking, giving in, compromising on God's word, compromising on the gospel. This problem today is as old as the church is itself. The Apostle Paul dealt with this as he looked into the Galatians this morning. Paul loved the Galatians. God had used Paul to establish this church, and Paul had cared about their welfare, their spiritual welfare. Among these false teachers were Judaizers who thought the Galatians needed some additional teaching, that they should be circumcised, that they should do works during their salvation. But how well we know that there'll be deceivers in our days too. So let's examine these verses as I read them from Galatians this morning, how Paul dealt with this wavering and this other gospel that was being shared by the Judaizers. In Galatians 1, 6 through 12, shall we stand at the reading of God's word? Paul said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Thank you, God, that we have the true gospel right in front of us. Your word is right there for us each day. It's there to teach us. It's there for wisdom for us. It's there to help us in our needs, in our daily walk, maybe in our daily talk with our former or current employer, maybe with our friend, possibly our family. Would that be possible? But Lord, we thank you for the gospel. The gospel that saved me. The gospel that saves millions. The gospel that should live in our lives and in our hearts. That we should never waver. That we should never compromise on the gospel. Thank you for Paul's lesson. Thank you for his heart for the people. Thank you for his ministry that we can talk about today. Thank you for his example. But we know that it was you, God, who was working through him, that he was your servant. Thank you, God, for these words. Bless them now, Lord. Use them to further your kingdom. Keep me in your word, Lord. Give me wisdom. Give me a heart to share your word. In thy name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So I've entitled today's message, No Other Gospel. First of all, I think Paul expressed his concern for the people in 6 and 7. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, but what is really no gospel at all. These were people who Paul had led in faith to Jesus Christ. He loved them. He was concerned about their current spiritual condition. The Galatians were infiltrating their churches there, these Judaizers, and were demanding that the Gentiles be circumcised and they follow the works of the Jewish practice. In a way, I don't think that Paul was shocked that there were false teachers and deceivers in the church. But what Paul was really astonished about was the fact that they were quickly deserting from the gospel that he had preached to them and taught them. You know, the dust had hardly come off Paul's sandals, and here they were with this problem, with this crisis. Paul shows who he represents in the first four verses there. Paul, an apostle, he'd been with Christ, he'd walked with Christ, sent from not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. And then he shares with you and with them the gospel in 3 and 4. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the gospel. Who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Paul stated the gospel. The Galatians had heard the true gospel of Christ, but now they were starting to question and waver in their faith, even giving in to this other gospel. The word deserting in verse 6 there is kind of a military, if we look it up in the Greek, it's a military term about leaving. It's about deserting, about leaving the battle, deserting our brothers who are on the front line, changing sides even. The Galatians were deserting what Paul had taught. Grace and turning from the gospel to legalism. Trading Jesus for the law. Trading the old gospel for false teachings. Many groups and cults today claim, some of them claim, in the name of Jesus. They may even use parts of the Bible, taking words out of context and for false teachings, or helping to justify even our sins. As Calvary Free, it should be a burden upon our hearts to reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are straying. I was visiting with a couple the other day, Linda and I were, we live in an apartment complex, and they have a wife of a former pastor who had passed away. And the conversation had come about, evidently the couple had been reading about Noah and the Ark or had been at a service. This former pastor's wife says, "Oh, that's a great story. That's a great story." Another time they were doing, down in the swimming pool, and they were doing athletics, and they were doing climbing Jacob's ladder, they were singing that. And the instructor says, "Oh, we better stop that because we might offend someone." Offend them with the gospel? Offend them with what Christ, this beautiful song, "You're climbing Jacob's ladder"? But yet there it is. It's right in front of us. Secondly, Paul addressed a crisis among the people. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. These false teachers were causing a great spiritual harm and crisis among the Galatian believers. "What I am hearing is not the gospel at all." They were throwing them into confusion. They were perverting the gospel. Have you ever been confronted or had that knock at the door where a Jehovah Witness has come to your house? You probably have. They always look good, don't they? They're really dressed and in good appearance. They're well-dressed, friendly, seem genuine, and really passionate about what they want to share with you. but understand this. They do not know that they have been deceived. They believe their message and their desire is to convert you to what they feel is the truth. Some of the things they feel what the truth is. Trinity is a pagan doctrine. Jesus began as Michael, the archangel, and then after Jesus died, Michael rose from the dead as a resurrection of Jesus Christ. They believe the Holy Spirit is not a person, just to name a few. I didn't go into the other cults or other beliefs, but there's just one. And if you are not grounded in the Word of God, you can be deceived. That's why I'm so thankful that we offer Sunday school classes, that moms and dads bring their children to church, to Sunday school, and then they stay. The parents do. I think last year I counted with the 3 or 4 adult classes, there were like 60-some adults. Praise the Lord. How can we ever get so knowledgeable that we don't have to be in Sunday school and we know it all? It's good for us. We love each other. We listen to each other's thoughts and words. I'm thankful for faithful Sunday school teachers who teach that Noah is true, that Noah did build an ark, that God did cause a flood. Thankful for the true gospel that is being preached here at Calvary. Verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. I believe this is one of the most important verses of doctrine, maybe in the entire Bible. Paul explained that the words of the gospel are commands, are obedience, it's authorization. It's infallibility. It's incapable of error. That the gospel is never wrong. That it is reliable. That the gospel lives forever. It has the ability to last. Duration. And it's eternal. Paul said, if I come back to you with a message that is different than what I preached, let me be eternally condemned. I think of today and our times, how God's word is being changed or altered, compromised to fit the sin, to justify our moral behaviors, same-sex marriage, abortion, New Age teaching, works righteous, which was being taught by the Judaizers, that you'll earn your salvation. We even have pastors today who are preaching maybe a different gospel. That you're preaching an entertaining gospel, that they don't preach the law, that they want to entertain the people, that they're justifying their actions. But what does it say? Let me be eternally condemned. Someday they will answer. They will stand before the judge. I want everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book, Revelation. If you don't take anything away from this sermon, be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you believe. Know what you believe. Look at and study the scriptures and put your trust in Christ alone. Know that Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Thirdly, I believe Paul reviews his life and teachings with the people, verses 10 through 11. And I now, trying to win the approval of men or of God, or I'm trying to please men. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of God. There were many false teachers and prophets in Paul's days, and there are many more today. Turn on your TV, turn on your radio, turn on the internet, turn on Facebook. It's all there. Just because someone is holding a Bible, standing in the pulpit, is not guaranteed that they are of God. We hear today of a couple of positive thinking, prosperity preaching, just to name a few. And how sad that is. We see that. These and others are watering down God's word. But they want popularity in the world, just as the Judaizers were doing to Galatia. We need pastors and leaders who will do like Paul, declare the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Malachi 2:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. God's word does not change. I'll guarantee you that. That it is true. We need to be like Paul. Sometimes we need a little stirring up. Maybe today's message will stir you up. Maybe a Bible verse that you come into the next few days, maybe a devotional will stir you up. But we have to. We need to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Kentucky Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis told Decision Magazine Wednesday, if the Word of God isn't worth fighting for, I don't know anything that is. And the tragedy is that there are simple ways to accommodate her convictions. Just remove her name from the marriage license. That's all she asked from the beginning. No amount of threats against her life or her job, no edits from the U.S. Supreme Court or the governor could sway Kim Davis's to compromise God's truth. She is so overwhelmed by God's grace, so captivated by his love, so surrendered to his will that she can't fathom caving in the ways and pressures of this world, regardless of the consequences. I cannot be separated from what I believe, she said. I have to love the Lord with all my heart, my mind, my body, and my soul. With every ounce of strength and might that I have, it's every breath we take and every beat of our heart. Because of the Bible's clear teaching that marriage is sacred union of one man and one woman. Davis prayerfully decided that she could not permit issuance to gay and lesbian couples since the licenses would bear her name. Those licenses leave my office through my authority, she said. I cannot be party to that. I just can't. If the word of God isn't worth fighting for, I don't know anything that is. Her life changed in 2011 when she attended a Sunday evening church service. The pastor preached out of Galatians. And it really stirred my heart, Davis said. I repented right there on the altar, just fell on my knees and face and cried. Davis now prays regularly for the salvation and protection of the same-sex couples who have assailed her and says she believes there is eternal significance in remaining firm in her stance. We serve a living God who is alive and on the throne. He knows exactly where I am, and I know that his hand is upon me and upon his people. He is in full control. Standing up for the gospel. She's doing it scripturally. If we look into the Bible, it says to honor our government or our leaders, but if they are doing different against God's will, then we have a right to stand up for it. And that's what she's doing. Verse 11, Paul closes with these last two verses. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by the revelation from Jesus Christ. The true gospel Paul delivered to the Galatians did not come from him. It was not based on his human reasoning, but only what Christ had taught him. The gospel of grace came only at Christ's expense. His death. There is no other gospel. Not only was the gospel not of man, it was not from man. Paul received the gospel of Christ from the author of the word, Jesus Christ. If you're searching for a new gospel, there isn't one. The true gospel of Jesus Christ has been shared with you today. And if you're searching in your heart Christ to be part of the family of God, you come to the right place because God is here. I pray that today's message will let you know that there is no other gospel and that the message will encourage you to attend Sunday school classes, Bible studies, Sunday school. Bible studies changed my life. When I was drinking milk, and in the milk stage, God got me into a Bible study, and I started receiving solid food, spiritual food that changed my life, that helped me recognize that I was a sinner, recognize when false teachings were there, recognize the need to preach the true gospel, that I can't compromise on God's word. None of us can. And to search the scriptures as the Bereans did. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were a more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. Have you searched of what I shared with you today? Or are you just listening? I pray that you do. That God has given to you today the words laid upon my heart. And I pray that you will use them. That you won't keep them within these four walls, that you use them in your homes, out in the public. And pray. Pray for wisdom that God will show you the way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words today. I thank you for this lady's stand on the word of God. And yes, Lord, you hate the sin, but you love the sinner, and that's where she's coming from. She's praying for these people. That deception, that blind, that curtain will be pulled away from their eyes, that they might see the word of God, that they might know and be convicted. Lord, know that marriage is between a man and a woman. Know that you are there for them, that you never leave them or forsake them. Thank you, God, again, for your words today. In thy name we pray. Amen.